Now, friends, we come to the sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians, and we come now to that chapter that we've labeled God's Comfort in All Circumstances of the Ministry of Christ. And we have set before us here the requirements of a good minister of Jesus Christ. And none of us can read this without saying again, who is sufficient for these things? None of us could meet this high standard. We'll be looking at that, but I want you to notice that we're still in the section of God's comfort. The comfort of God, chapters 1 through 7. And we've been now in God's comfort in the ministry of suffering. First, it was God's comfort in the glorious ministry of Christ, chapter 3. Then in the ministry of suffering for Christ, the ministry of martyrdom for Christ, and now God's comfort in all circumstances of the ministry of Christ, the all-round minister. Let's look at this for just a moment, and we see presented to us here the one who is an ideal minister. Now, let me read. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Now, you will notice that in your translation that with him is in italics, and it should be we then as workers together. And we need to recognize that there's another line that is made today that needs to be rubbed out. And that is the line between clergy and laity. There are certain ones given the gift of teaching. And if I have any gift, it'd have to be that, because if I can't claim that one, I don't have any. But the thing is that there are those that are called to teach and those to be pastors, those to be missionaries. And then there are others that are called into a relationship. They're all given a gift, but we would term that the laity, the pulpit and the pew. And there ought not to be the distinction that we make between the two. We're workers together. If you're sitting in the pew, if you are listening today, you're as responsible to get out the Word of God as I am. I've just probably been given a little different gift, but you may be today a bank president. And you may be the president of a large corporation. You may be a truck driver. You may be just a housewife. But honestly, you are responsible to get the Word of God out. Fact of the matter is, we today need to recognize God's given to the church certain men that'll teach, certain men that will act as pastors, certain men that have other gifts that are used for the work of the ministry. That is, to equip the believers to serve. Now, let me again repeat this, because it came to me some time ago from a very good friend of mine, Dr. Earl Rodmacher, up here in Portland, Oregon. He's president of the Western Baptist Seminary, I think one of the coming men of the country today. And he made this statement. He said, shepherds do not produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep. A great many people think the preacher is to win all the people for Christ. That's his business, or the evangelist. May I say to you, that's your business. God has given teachers and preachers and evangelists and missionaries, all of these, to fill out and prepare the body of believers. That is, those that are the ministry, and the ministry of those sitting in the pew, that they might be equipped to go out and witness. The shepherd, you see, doesn't produce the sheep. He feeds sheep, and he watches over sheep. He shepherds sheep, but he doesn't produce sheep. He can't. The sheep produce sheep. And today, the whole work of the church is bogged down because the sheep are not out witnessing. They are the ones that should be out witnessing today. And I want to raise the question again. I'm being very personal these past few times. What are you doing today to get the Word of God to others? Now, actually, there's some of you that can do something that I can't do and no preacher in the country can do. You know what that is? There's some people got confidence in you, and they wouldn't listen to me 5 seconds, but they will listen to you. Maybe you could get a few of the logs of our program, give them out to your friends. A word from you would cause them to listen. And we find that there are people being led to Christ today because somebody talked to them about listening to the program. And I know that there are some folk that will put an ad in their local paper. We are not able to do that. That's not our method. But we found out that that happens. And I hear from time to time of so many things that people are doing to get people to listen to the Word. I know one man, he's a very fine businessman. Honestly, he can't speak. That is, he can talk, but he has got some sort of an impediment. And he gets the tapes, and he's circulating them everywhere today, and he'll take them around. And he's a prominent businessman. And it's quite flattering for him to knock on the door of maybe one of his workers one evening and bring a tape and bring a machine that plays it, comes in and visits and says, I'd just like you to listen to this. And believe me, I guess that's subjecting them to a great deal of torture, but it's sure witnessing. You see, friends, we're workers together. We're workers together. And he says, I beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now, how do you receive the grace of God in vain? Well, this is the way. What response are we making today to the love of his heart? God today has been showering his goodness and his mercy on us. And to receive his great goodness and to rejoice in the salvation of the grace of God, and yet to live carnal, worldly lives, that's what it means to receive the grace of God in vain. That is something that we need to recognize. It's important to see that.